Here's Wilson, and on the right circle, he scores!
Rebound loose, wild scramble in front, score! Ovechkin with a buzzer beater! It'll count!
And a hat trick tonight, number 21, Evan Bourassa.
Braden Holtby!
Hello, welcome once again to the Power Play Point Podcast. This is your host, the Blue Liner on Point, coming at you live to tape, live from Glen Burnie, Maryland. And it's another week of Caps Hockey Talk. And with me to help me out, as always, live from Centerville, Virginia, the beautiful, wonderful mermaid mentalist, Fairfax's teaching prodigy, who will teach you a lesson if you don't listen and watch out. And she's good with kids, too. Just ask her. Ladies and gentlemen, Anna Knox.
Good evening, Gil. And I can honestly say for the first time in 3 weeks, I'm healthy.
You sound healthy. You sound much better.
I know. I do. I feel so much better. I don't know what it was. I don't know what, you know, if it was that I tried honey bourbon hot toddy the other day, and it was awesome. Highly recommended from me. I don't drink bourbon, but I may change, you know, maybe the vodka tonic thing needs to go, you know, in the past, because that was, you know, that was last season. Maybe I need a new drink this season because I haven't been really happy with how the Caps have played the last couple of games. But we'll see.
Yeah, I might have to get that recipe from you. But I am sans drink today because my schedule got all kind of whopper-jawed thanks to my job forcing me to come in and have some sort of emergency meeting only to be told, oh, guess what? You're not getting any increased pay for it, but your job title's changing.
Oh boy! And it's it's a rainy Monday.
Yeah, well, right. That was the top and the bottom of the iceberg, because I got to drive amongst Maryland drivers. Sorry, my fellow state of Marylanders, but y'all suck and you know it. When stuff comes out of the sky, because you play this grand game of "Ooh, look at the pretty green light." Whenever that happens,
right?
Y'all
and
know
they don't
it
use
too.
Their blinkers.
They did that too.
And
I'm not letting you others off the hook, DMVers, District of Columbiaers, and Commonwealth of Virginians, you people.
Well, Virginia's for lovers.
Yeah,
we're all good.
Yeah, that's true. Well, no matter where y'all are at, quick reminder, do please get out and vote tomorrow. Because it's very, very important, and it's your civic duty.
Yes, it is.
Just wanted to put that out there. Something else I wanted to put out there real quick. November is the continuance of the fight against cancer, and if you will notice, both the website and the Caps app, Caps NHL app, are decked in lavender purple in remembrance and celebration of the fight against breast and all types of cancers.
Mm-hmm.
And so we haven't given up on that. So just wanted to remind you of that as well. There's merchandise at the team store that commemorates the same as well. So do please put your dollars towards that if the spirit drive you.
Which I also saw today that aside from the purple, you know, jerseys and other items, they are now selling socks with Capitals face players' faces on them. I love that. So, Christmas, I would like some Capitals socks.
I will put that on my list.
Okay. I've been good this year.
If my beard keeps growing and I keep feeling older than I am, I'll end up looking like Santa Claus. Especially
awesome.
If I don't lay off the cookies.
There you go.
Oh, wait. It's all good. No, I'm in IT. It's the wrong type of cookies. Sorry.
No. That was a total tech nerd joke right there.
I was going to say industry joke. Sorry.
Yes, you just nerded out. I'll let it go. Okay. But yes, I want player face hockey socks.
Okay.
So, and I think we all know who I want. Well, there's more than one pair.
We'll talk about that. But okay. Folks, if you want to get on Anna's good side, you just heard it. That's what she wants for Christmas.
Well, actually, anytime. Who doesn't want, like, cool packages in the mail? You know, just randomly someone's like, hey, I heard you wanted this, and here you go. I'd be like, shut up. Tom Wilson socks. Jacob Frana socks. Michael Kempney socks. Yes.
Cool.
I would add it to my sweatshirt, blue short commando hockey sock attire.
Yeah, absolutely.
All right.
I can't believe I'm saying this, but I can't wait. I can't wait to see those. Once you
the
get those.
Faces. I know. Let's hope somebody's listening, because you know what? If not, I have no problem treating myself.
I
saw it today and was like, oh my God, I just dig that.
I'm sure you have some secret admirer out there that's willing to.
Singular. I'm kidding.
Willing to I'm not going to finish that sentence.
Yeah, no. Let's just not. Cuz I'll go somewhere else. All right. So, crappy rainy Monday.
Mm-hmm.
Big game tonight.
Mm-hmm.
But let's talk about last week.
Yeah, last week, indeed. It's actually only blah, and if it were a third game, it would be blah, blah, blah. And you know what we'd have then? Hotel Transylvania 4.
Stop. No, please don't.
Visa Thai.
No, stop.
Okay, so yes, two games to recap because of a four-day layoff towards the end of the month. I start the month of November against the Canadiens in Montreal. Well, okay, so we all saw it. It was a 6-4 loss. Okay, so to recap the scoring, the much heralded rookie, I'll be honest,
whatever.
I'm not quite sure how to pronounce his first name.
Nobody knows that he's 18.
Coke and Pepsi, Coke and something, Coke and rum. Koken Yemi, I think his name is. Anyway, gets his first of the year, 228 in the first, on a wrister. Holpe got the start, by the way. About 4 minutes later, just under 4 minutes later, Lars Eller ties it with a wrister of his own, assisted by Niskanen and Stevenson. Game looked pretty even at that point. First period, not too bad. Pretty even play. Then we got into the second, and that's where it started to look like an old-fashioned fire wagon game. Well, to the bad anyway. Brendan Gallagher gets two within 3 minutes of the start of the second, his eighth and ninth of the year.
Mm-hmm.
First one. Well, assisted by Thomas Tartar Sauce. Sorry, Thomas Tatar. Second one assisted by Tatar and Patrick Deneau. To make it 3-1 after 3 minutes in. And look pretty bad at that point. Except for the captain intervening, 3.5 minutes later, of a wrister of his own, assisted by Evgeny Kuznetsov and Jacob Vrana.
Mm-hmm.
His third
assist. Who we're going to talk about soon.
His third assist of the year. He was looking pretty good on that top line, I have to say.
Yes, he was. He can be on the top line all the time. Okay, so we got Ovi at 6:49 and then Eller at 7:59.
Correct. To tie it at 3 even. And so looking pretty good, even though it was kind of shabby then, and making it look even better almost exactly 5 minutes later on a deflection is the captain once again with his 10th of the year. Was it on the power play? No, it was not.
No, so Orlov.
Orlov and Niskanen with the assist. Nice to see the D jumping in there. And so Caps went into the third, up by a goal, and looked like they were cruising to a win. And then with just over 3 minutes left in the game, the wheels started to fall off for good. Mr. Coke and Pepsi, Coke and RC, Coke up your nose. I can't.
Whatever. It's Coke fine. And nobody cares.
Gets his second of the year, his second of his career also, on a wrister with just over 3 minutes left to go to tie the game. And then it looked like the Caps were playing for OT / skills competition / stick my finger down my throat and yak my guts out. Except for the fact, and this was the goal that pissed a lot of Caps fans off. Max Domi gets his stick. He did something with his stick too, but we'll get to that in a second. Max Domi gets his sixth of the goal, assisted by Jeff Petrie, at 19:38 of the third, so 22 seconds left in the game. They go up by one on a wrister. Now, this was controversial because he started the play, Domi did, by what looked like a hook and or a slash of Ovechkin's hands, which caused him to turn over the puck, which started the play going the other way. And the captain complained bitterly about this.
Mm-hmm.
Did not like it, and a lot of us Caps fans noticed it too. But the ref didn't agree, and it went unpunished, and it was allowed, so there you go. And that, of course, ended up being the game-winning goal. And then 2 seconds later, Armia gets the empty netter. I'm pretty sure that ties the record for fastest two goals. Fastest two goals.
I mean, 2 seconds, that was
2 seconds,
sick.
Yeah, that has to tie the record. Yeah. I'm pretty sure, but and Deneau on that assist wins the faceoff, gets it to Armia, flings it net, game pretty much over, and yeah, it ends that way 6-4. So looking at the vitals, shots on goal, ridiculous, 44 for Les Habitants, 31 for the good guys, obvious disparity there. Faceoff, this was a bit of an anomaly, 61% win for the good guys. 39 for the Canadiens. Power plays were at a premium in this game. Canadiens only got two. Caps only got one. One? Power play? One? Okay. So that translates into 6 minutes and penalties for the Caps. Four for the Habs. I don't know. This looked like one gigantic coffee break for the refs. Hits.
I don't know about excuse me about your frustration with the game, but I will say my frustration came immediately at the first period because I felt like, again, here we are looking sluggish, looking sloppy, and then I thought they were getting their shit together in the second period. I really did. Like, I felt good about it. I felt like, I think I was talking with somebody back and forth saying, okay, you know, just, you know, texting back and forth saying, I hope Todd Reardon, you know, takes them into the locker room and risks them a whole new asshole on getting their, you know, getting the game together, because that was ridiculous. They came out in the second and finally looked like they were in sync with each other. You know, it looked like it was better. You do have the Habs coming, you know, it's like they're scoring boom, 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 and we're right there with them. And then what? Then come the third period. I mean, how do you honestly go up against a team who is going to score three times in the final 3 minutes. And two of the goals within 2 seconds. You know, it was just like we had a chance and then we just totally blew it.
Oh, and I am not letting the Caps off the hook at all. It's not completely the ref's fault that this game ended the way it did.
Right.
So, yeah.
But, okay, now if we put that out there, how do you think Holtby played?
Good question. Okay, so he faced 44 shots total, as we just went over. 19 in the first period, 17 in the third period. So of course he wasn't responsible for the last one. So five get by him, five out of, so the last one was an empty net shot. So it's really 43 shots he faced, and five get by him. He could have done better, but I think he was also hung out to dry in at least a couple of them.
I agree. Just shots on goal, 19.
Yeah.
In the first period. That's ridiculous.
That's
what I would hope that Reardon, you know, goes in there and just really rips into him to say, this is absolutely unacceptable. And where are you on the ice? And where are you supposed to be? And what the fuck are you supposed to be doing? Because right now you're not doing it.
I'm sorry, go ahead.
No, I was going to say. And then they came out like, yeah, you know, all amped up in the second. And then again, here we hit that. Okay, we're not seeing the 60 minutes of hockey with these guys. We're seeing maybe 1.5 periods. I would give him that. But this is becoming a trend. And that's the problem is, you know, if they're either coming out strong and, you know, losing steam the second half of the third, or they're coming out ridiculously slow, trying to catch up and looking good in the third and still not able to pull out a win.
Yeah.
So that, and you know, I know you and I were listening and we get to, you know, hey, it's only 12 games. We've got, you know, like you said, we're 1/7 of the season in. Is it time to panic? Of course not. Absolutely not. But I don't like to see so many consistent L's, especially with this team, with this team, knowing how much of it is such a mental game with a lot of the players, you know, your Barakowskis, your Holtbys, you know, it's like, it's that kind of stuff that it's like, okay, we need to get a W. We need to get back into feeling good about the team, because right now I feel like everyone's pointing fingers, and if it's not, you know, Bowie's fault, it's Carlson's fault. It's not Carlson's fault, then we're gonna put, you know, now we're putting for tonight's game, Jason's on the top line. They bumped Ron into the fourth. I don't think that was a good move at all.
We'll get to that a little bit more.
Yeah.
But yeah, there's a lot of self-doubt and confusion going on. I think they just need to get their heads on straight and figure out who they are again. That's most of it. It's not all of it, but it's most of it. We'll get to that. We'll talk about that more as we finish out the recap. I don't know. There's an element. I'm not going to name names, and off the top of my head, I really don't know who, but there are some that obviously are not liking what they're seeing. Look, I'm one of them, but some of these same people are saying it indeed is time to panic, and changes must be made. Well, like we just said, we're 12 games into the season, and are they playing up to their potential? Are they playing like they should? No. But there are some things, as has been mentioned in the True Caps Fans Facebook room, there are some things to consider. Item one, this, and don't confuse this for excuses. These are just points to consider. Okay. Item one being the... How do you put this politely and in one succinct word? Schizophrenic schedule that the Caps have been on. You look at this past month alone. They open the season against Boston, play a back-to-back against Pittsburgh. Then they don't play another game for 5 days. They play another Wednesday and yet another back-to-back, which they lose. Then they play Toronto, and they're off another 3 days. And then they play another Wednesday game. And some games that are spaced out. Then they go on that long Canadian trip. Then they come home. And the last two games of that Canadian trip have 4 days in between them. Okay? Uh-huh. So, yeah, a bananas, crackers, and nuts schedule, to say the least.
Right. And so what I'm, but going along with that then, now that we're into November, and they are playing a game every other day, I am really, and a lot of it's at home, really, really hoping to get back into the swing of things. I still don't feel like we have the chemistry, yes. The consistency, no. I mean, look at, I'm the first one at throwing number 10 under the bus. I was like, shit, I need to see more from Connolly. Then he goes and scores, you know, at the Stars game. And it's like, oh, hey, there's this potential. Keep it rolling. And I want to pull for Barakovsky and he's not doing it. But now we're bumping him up on the line. You know, I'm just like, what's going on? But when we started the season last year, you know, and even Rochelle Wilcox said it's like, I think she said it last week that it's like no one thought this time last year, the way we were starting off, that we were even going to be contenders for the Stanley Cup. You know, it was like everyone was stressing then.
Right.
So I'd like to see how November goes. I think this is going to speak volumes with how the schedule is, because I agree. They had a fucked up schedule. Like, it was ridiculous to start off a season that way.
Right. And so that leads me to the second item, which is the obvious dreaded cup hangover.
Right.
That meaning the Caps had way less of an off season. That's what that means. Saltier types out there. No, it doesn't mean, they shouldn't have drunk out of the cups a gosh darn much. No, that's not what that means. That means they had less of an offseason than, say, 29 or 28 other teams to deal with, okay? And because they are the Cup champions, they have a giant Target on their back. And in that, all other teams are gunning for them every blessed night. So that's what Cup hangover means. And should they have been more ready for it? Maybe. But even so, every team has to face it. So, just two points to consider.
I am really, really starting to hate that hangover term. Like, I don't know if it's the media that gets under my skin, probably, or certain sports writers or commentators, that just in DC in general, it's like, you know, you have one bad game and it's like, whoa, there you go, curse the DC, toss in the towel, blah blah blah, you know. It's like, and now this hangover word, like, this is going to be the new curse word, you know, like how we were like, oh, we're cursed, we can't beat the Penguins, we can't do this. Well, look, we did it. You know, not only did we beat the Penguins, we also are Stanley Cup champions. So we're starting off on a slow season, and we still have 70 games to play. So to keep talking about the hangover is really getting under my skin this early in the season. So I'm hoping for my sanity, and obviously for the team and the fans, that we're starting to see more W's. So I can hear less about the hangover and more about how kick-ass the team is playing.
I agree.
That's just me.
Look at us forming a united front here.
I know. Maybe that's what it is. Maybe we have just started off this entire second season of Power Play Point Podcast agreeing too much.
Well, maybe
I blame
so.
You. I'm blaming you.
Of
I'm
course
blaming
you are.
You.
Of course you are.
Yeah.
Yeah. But look, folks, this is actually nothing new at all. Okay? If you follow the team for X amount of years, doesn't matter if it's 2 or 22, okay? We should all be used to the fact by now that our Washington Capitals are notoriously slow starters from the beginning of the season. It's like the whole league is playing at 78 RPM and they're playing on 44. It's the wrong
speed. Okay, stop. We get it. Gil.
I made my point. Anyway, so this, look, nothing new, nothing to see here, nothing to panic, all right? Moving on
I agree.
So moving on to the next game, which we were hoping would be somewhat better. It was and it wasn't. It was against Dallas, back at home in the friendly confines of the Cap One Arena. Didn't start out too well, though.
No,
not at all. Jason Spezza gets his third of the year, 10:51 in with a wrister. 1-0 Dallas. And then, wow, 10 seconds later, Braden Holtby plays the puck from behind his net, commits the cardinal no-no of waiting and then throwing it from the back wall, then throwing it, where it hits Tyler Pitlick, who recovers it, makes a
and
move.
Scores.
And
right.
scores.
In 10 seconds.
In 10 seconds.
I put that on hold, babe.
Oh, it's totally on Holtby.
I mean, I wish I could justify it, but no. You know, this was absolutely terrible. Obviously he didn't do it intentionally, but it was like, at first you want to be like, wait, what? Oh, they scored. I mean, it was just, you know, within 10 seconds. And this is kind of starting to freak me out a little bit because it is two games we've had which the opponent has scored either in 2 seconds back-to-back or 10 seconds back-to-back, which means I don't know what Reardon can tell the players or tell Holtby, but, like, this is not something that I want other teams to be watching, you know, the recap to be like, oh, yeah, this is for Holtby, you know, the goal goes in, and then we can go ahead and get it again because he's not ready, you know, less than a minute later.
Yeah, and shame on him for giving up a goal to a guy by the name of Pitlick.
I agree. Yeah, he's for one, and not quite Malkin worthy, throat punch worthy, but just kind of a name that you're like, ew.
Well, see,
I just don't like you because your name.
Yeah, see, well, I also followed his father's career, Lance Pitlick, and he was on a team that played the Caps in the 98 playoffs in the second round. And you'll love this. Their goalie's last name?
Yes.
Tugnut.
Stop.
That's true. It is true. So you had a team with Pitlick and Tugnut.
God, and I thought Dick Butkus was like the worst name you could ever give somebody. And, you know, in football, and you're like, how do you literally look at somebody or look at their name?
Look him up. The guy's name is Ron Tugnutt.
God, that's so embarrassing. I don't know if it's, I mean, it's just, that's just wrong. Yeah. Well, thank you for your wealth of knowledge, because I wouldn't have known that. But yes. Okay. So now we've got that name. Now, you know, no one can justify Dick Butkus to me ever. Wow. Okay. So yeah. So last name and he scores.
Yeah. So getting back to the game. Okay. So Caps once again fall behind and then come out storming in the second period. Sort of. Nick Backstrom, who we keep on forgetting, or I keep on forgetting, just recently got his 600th career assist. Lest I forget yet another episode without mentioning that.
Right, and I think tonight, if I was looking at the right thing, and who knows if I was because I'm so screwed up with my computer these days, excuse me, is that I believe that they are doing a mention prior to the game, a little, you know, at home recognition for how badass he is, which would be really cool if I was there, but I'm not, so maybe they'll show it on TV.
Well, maybe. And so anyway, he gets his third of the year, assisted by Andre Burakovsky, his first assist of the year, and Michael Kempney, 38 seconds into the second. So good response by them. Jamie Benn, however, halfway through the period, responds with his six to put Dallas up 3-1.
Right.
So still looking bad for the good guys. And then who steps up? But like you said, Mr. Brett Conley with his second of the year. Lars Eller with his fifth assist. And Dmitry Yashkin involving himself with his second assist of the season. 3-2 Dallas, which takes us into the third period. Only one goal there, but it was a biggie. Evgeny Kuznetsov with his sixth. On the power play, so once again, when the Caps go to the PP, they deliver. And so his sixth assisted by Oshie and Backstrom with his 12th assist of the year, which tied it up and leads us into overtime.
And so hold on, I'm looking at my notes. Conley scores at 12:31 to make it 3-2.
Correct.
And then doesn't Kuzi close out the third period with the power play goal at 7?
Well, that was, so Kuzi's goal was the only goal of the third period.
There we go. Sorry, couldn't read my handwriting.
So you're pretty much right. Yeah. Yeah, that opened and closed the scoring. And again, you know, it was, you know, going to the pee-pee. And I'm sure.
I know how much you love to say that.
And I know how much you deal with that dealing with kids.
More than I care to, but yeah.
So anyway, that, as I said, leads us into overtime. And Alan May said something about, and both him and Craig Lachlan said, they wish this game would never end. And I have to agree for once with them. It was very, very entertaining to watch. But then your boy...
He screwed up big time.
He was supposed to take a pass, an outlet pass at the blue line, and instead did a Gerald Ford impersonation, name that and claim it. Either that or he was pretending to slip on a banana peel. I don't know. But he...
Flat tire. It was bad.
Yeah, he blew a good year and didn't have one. And... That Dick.
That was it. I mean, there was
that Dick.
Excuse me.
Inson.
Yes. So we've gone from a PP to a Dickinson scoring to give Dallas the win. Damn.
So he picks up the dregs of
Vrana.
Trying to reinvent his wheels, and puts it away at 3:17, and I remember thinking that during the game, must have seen that car commercial with Braden Holtby about, oh, 5 or 6 times. And he's laughing away at that, making a joke about, I'm going to need a big cup holder. But I tell you what, after that goal, he wasn't laughing. Not at all.
No, I think I've seen him be pretty pissy in his interviews post game, and rightfully so. So I think he's going to start, you know, voicing his opinion more to the players. Although I do believe Copley's in for tonight, so that'll be interesting. The guy, you know, he needs a chance also, but it cannot be careless, sloppy games, and especially not against who we're playing tonight.
Exactly. And a perfect segue, Anna, and that leads us to tonight's game, which we dropped the puck on in about an hour or so. Another reminder, speaking of an hour or so, you can catch Anna live on Sports on the Hill with Caps Talk with Carol Porter III and Robbie Gross and crew.
Yep.
So stay tuned for that. Of course, by the time you hear this, you will have already heard that as well. But yes, as Anna alluded to, revenge game against the Edmonton Oilers. 7 o'clock puck drop. The one bad loss, the one really bad loss we've had, they would have on the Canadian road trip. So, I would say revenge time and facing an old friend in Alex Chiasson.
Yes.
Yeah, and who's on something of a hot streak.
He is. And I wish people would stop, you know, making reference to him and being like, biggest mistake the Caps have made. Really? Is it? It's 13 games into the season. Yes, he looks good, you know, and good for him. But is it our biggest mistake? No. But okay. So, yeah, I mean, so he's starting off well. Whatever. Good for Chiasson. I just hope tonight we don't play like how we did in Edmonton. Because that was not a pretty game to watch.
I work very, very hard.
Stop.
I like being the idea of the cap favorite mistake. I still no interview very good, but I like the scoring the most goal on the team.
Okay. Now you're
being annoying. Yeah.
Yes.
That's what we do.
Yes. All right. They're not. There's no we.
No we.
No. So we being annoying. It's you.
Oh, I thought you. I thought the kids were bad, so you took away their we.
No. Again, no. All right. It is 6:05. Let's get going.
Okay. Yep. So to roll out the rest of the future games, Pittsburgh. It's a 4-game homestand starting tonight. So Pittsburgh, they play 7:30. I'm wondering if this is, since it's a Wednesday, I'm wondering if this is a national game. Not sure. Going to have to check. But if it is, it's usually an 8 o'clock start.
Right.
So we'll have to double check. I don't know. They might flex that. I don't know. Okay. And then Friday it's the CBJ. Our old friend Torts is coming to town, and then on Sunday, it's something of a matinee. 5 o'clock puck drop against the Arizona Coyotes. That ought to be a howling good time. And then it's another Western Roads trip for the rest of the week. But we'll get to that as we go on. Okay, so quick check of the time. I do not have my trusty producer man Jeffrey with me, so we're kind
6:05.
Of policing ourselves. Yes, it's 6:05. What are we on, Turner time? Wrestling reference for you who like that kind of thing.
I don't know what that means.
And if you like that kind of thing, that's the kind of thing you like. So anyway, we're getting a bit long in time. So we're just going to go ahead and wrap it up. I will do an Easter egg to tack on with solo with the a quick farm report. because our buddy Don McLaren has been working oh so very hard on supplying that information. So I won't leave it off completely. It'll be just an Easter egg at the end. So post-show credits, you can hear that if you wish. Okay, so that's going to do it for this very, hopefully, much briefer segment of the Power Play Point podcast. Anna, did you have any final thoughts before we signed off?
I do not.
Are you sure?
I think so.
You think so. Okay. Well, there you
I
have it.
I think I'm good.
There you have it. She's good and she's speechless.
Yes. For the first time in a while.
You said it. I didn't.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So...
Don't choke.
Don't. You got me with that one.
I know I did. I'm back. Now that I'm feeling healthy, I feel like so many sarcastic and innuendo and inappropriate comments have been building up. I'm like, you know what? I can't give them to you all at once. But I'll just, you know, I'll tease a little bit. Because now I'm feeling better.
I'm glad you're feeling better because you definitely have that swagger back to you.
Oh, thanks. So you missed the swagger.
Missed that, definitely. And I think our listeners did too.
Yeah, we'll see. Okay, so go ahead. Let's see. No, I'm not going to say anything. Go ahead and do your closing.
Okay, so for the lovely Anna Knox, this is the Blue Liner on Point signing off. Thanking you out there in the District of Columbia, the state of Maryland, and the Commonwealth of Virginia. And reminding you, not only to vote, but reminding you that if you need a strong password, it ought to be at least 8 characters. So make it Snow White and the 7 Dwarfs.
Nope.
Hallelujah, and let's go Caps.
Go Caps.
This has been another episode of the Power Play Point Podcast. All episodes are available from Apple Podcasts, the Podbean app, blueliner77.podbean.com, and now available from Stitcher. Music by Joe McAllister, voiceover by Jeffrey Conkle.
Hello, Blue Liner back with you again, as promised. So we're going to do the farm report now, real quick version of it, as promised. Okay, so this would be the last 3 games, the weekend that was this past weekend, starting with November the 2nd. They did a back-to-back with the Rochester Americans. The Amerks win the first one, 4-2. For the Bears, Scarbosa gets the goal with an assist from Travis Boyd in what would be one of his last conditioning assignments before he was called up, obviously. And Liam O'Brien got an empty netter to make it close. Bears were 1-for-2 for the PK per Don's notes. One for two for the power play, that is, and the PK was a perfect 5-for-5. Bringing us to November the 3rd, the second half of the tilt, the weekend tilt. This time the Bears were triumphant, 4-1. Connor Hobbs assisting on one of the goals, giving him team-leading 6 assists for the season. Jumping back to the first game, I should have mentioned, that was the game where Axel Janssen-Fjällby had the highlight reel goal that made the Twitter. Strongly encourage you to catch that if you could. Sorry about that. Jumping back over to the Bears' second game with the Amerks, much better game, obviously. Samsonov in goal ended up with 30 saves, 15 of those in the first period alone, and PK was still perfect. And the third and last of the games to recap, Bears at the Hartford Wolfpack. It was a shootout win. The goalie for this game was Milner, who was up from South Carolina because of Vanacek being injured. No scoring in the first. And let's see here. they actually fell behind and were still behind going into the third early, but they tied it up. Juuso Ikonen with his first ever AHL goal, once again, assist to Hobbs for his team-leading seventh assist of the season. The penalty kill was still perfect, 3-for-3 for the game, but the power play was unfortunately 0-for-4. Overtime was pretty good, shots 5-to-4 for the Bears, but no result, obviously. So it goes to the skills competition, and Aaron Ness got one round. Milner stopped 32 total, plus 7 in the shootout, earned first game. Not seeing who got the winning goal, but obviously they came away with it with a 2-1 win. So checking the standings in the North Division, in the the Atlantic Division rather, in the AHL, that leaves Hershey with 14 games played, 6 wins, 7 losses, 1 shootout loss for 13 points. Actually, something in a 3-way tie for 4th, but ranking them 6th. Due to one less regulation win in the books for them. So pretty solid showing so far. It was a rough start to the season, but I think they're not unlike the Caps. They're starting to get their legs under them. So that'll do it for the farm report. Just wanted to throw in one last thing in this Easter egg. I mentioned the, well, not by name exactly, but the Hockey Fights Cancer. The team store, as I said, does have some items for sale, proceeds of which will go towards that charity. Do strongly encourage you to partake in that. There are links provided in both the Caps app and at the team store, of course. So I want to throw in a reminder that you visit that. And as I said, if it moves you, go ahead and buy the merchandise and apparel. As I said, the proceeds do go towards cancer research. So again, thanks for listening, and by the time you listen to this, hopefully you have gone out and voted, and let's go Caps.